has been 40 years since the ischemic penumbra was first conceptualized through work on animal models. The topography of penumbra has been portrayed as an infarcted core surrounded by penumbral tissue and an extreme rim of oligemic tissue. In the paper, Refining the Ischemic Penumbra with Topography, first author Tan Phan et al. Reviewed the understanding of the topography of the ischemic penumbra from the initial experimental animal models to current developments with neuroimaging, which have helped to define further the temporal and spatial evolution of the penumbra and refine our knowledge. I'm Carmen Leigh Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Phan.
My name is Tan Phan. I'm working at Monash Health. I'm also a member of the Stroke and Aging Research Group in the Clinical Trials, Imaging and Informatics Division.
Can you please give us a background on the ischemic penumbra?
The ischemic penumbra was conceptualized more than four decades ago based on the work of Astrup and Simon, based on their work in animal models. Using an occlusion model, they noticed that not only there's decreased blood flow in that ischemic region of the brain, but there's also loss of neuronal activity and electrical activity. And that reposition of this area lead to restoration of the electrical function. Hence, it brings about this concept of salvageable tissue.
In terms of salvageable tissue, what are we talking about? What area of the brain is the ischemic penumbra found in?
It's thought that the ischemic penumbra in classical studies refer to a region of salvageable tissues surrounding a dead core. And in classical depiction of this, the core is somewhere in the middle of this ischemic area, on the right side, superior and inferiorly, the ischemic penumbra surrounding that.
And so with that dead tissue, what happens next? Like when we're imaging for ischemic penumbra, how do we image it and what exactly are we looking for?
So the ischemic penumbra traditionally has been, in previous research, have been done with PET studies. But PET studies are quite difficult to do in real life. And these days people use either MR imaging or CT diffusion imaging to visualize the ischemic penumbra. And using both MR and CT diffusion, you can depict, firstly, using blood vessel imaging, that there's a clot occluding a blood vessel. And then you can see that in the area that is part of the territory of that blood vessel, there's abnormal flow of contrast through that area. But there's also an area within that where there's very poor blood flow or poor passage of contrast in there, and that's thought to represent the infarct core.
So in the paper, you observed that there were three patterns that had been observed during PET studies that were integral to, I guess, assessing the penumbra and what's happened with the dead core. What were these three patterns observed?
Classical PET studies, there are three patterns, that's right. In pattern one, it's thought that there's greatly reduced perfusion as well as oxygen consumption. And that pattern was thought to be associated with a very poor outcome. In pattern two, where there's moderately reduced perfusion and moderately reduced oxygen consumption, the outcome of that area was indeterminate. And then in pattern three, there was increased perfusion but no change to oxygen consumption, and that pattern was associated with a good recovery. So in pattern one, it's thought that those patients with pattern one may not benefit from any intervention, whereas patient with pattern two, it could swing either way, and those patients may benefit from an intervention.
So can you give us an insight to your analysis of the topography of penumbra in humans?
In my review of the subject, I thought that the classical depiction of the ischemic penumbra with the core within the inside a sphere or inside the ellipsoid mass is greatly an exaggeration. And that stemmed initially from the work we had performed with a mapping of the infarct territory, where we show that not just us but others have shown that the striatal capsular region is the region at highest risk of infarction. So it looks like most of the real core, if there's an occlusion of the middle cerebral artery, is actually in the striatal capsular region. And that region is the most medial part of the left, of the hemisphere. So the penumbra would have to surround it either superior laterally and inferiorly, superior laterally but not medially. Whereas using classical depiction, it would describe it as a medial component to that. And when you look at clinical case where we do either MR or CT perfusion, you can see that that mimics this pattern rather than the classical depiction of the ischemic, the penumbra.
Well, so how do we then use penumbral topography to guide individual patient selection? Obviously, you're saying that PET, which is, of course, the classical way of doing it, is not what we would use now. What do we use now?
Now we use either MR perfusion or CT perfusion. In Australia, we tend to use more CT perfusion, mainly because it's very easily accessible and it's available in many areas within Australia, even in rural areas, not just within metropolitan cities.
So it's a much more usable format.
Yeah, correct. So it's not limited to just specialised centres that do research. I think that's one of the advantages of CT perfusion. In terms of how do we use the penumbra, there's been some recent trials, particularly with clot retrieval trials such as Extend-IA, where been used to define whether there's present of large amount of salvageable tissue and whether those patients would benefit from clot retrieval. And using that approach, the Extend-IA trial have succeeded in showing that if they follow that approach, clot retrieval would lead to a good outcome. And recently, the DAWN trial has been presented at the ESOC meeting this year, where based again on the concept of penumbra defined up to 24 hours, those patients with large amount of salvageable tissue would also benefit from clot retrieval. So it's a concept that started more than four decades ago, but it's now coming to clinical use.
And so I guess then what's the future for penumbral investigation?
The future for penumbral investigation is that up until now, we've treated penumbra more as a volume without taking account the actual location of the penumbra. And certainly, look, we know, for example, from our knowledge of neuroanatomy that certain locations have certain meanings with regard to certain stroke deficit. And we may need to take into account the not just the presence of penumbra, but the anatomical location of penumbra with regard to prediction of the likelihood of deficit or removal of that deficit with any intervention. I think that would be the new target approach rather than use the old time-based approach or just a volume-based approach at looking at the penumbra. Ischemia of the brain is really a dynamic process with a lot of individual variation due to the variation in the vascular anatomy, sort of the clot. So when we image a patient's penumbra, it's only a quick snapshot of this dynamic process, and we need to take that into account when we make any clinical decisions. We need to further identify penumbra, not looking at it from a volume approach, but looking at also the location of the penumbra, and from there predict using modern statistical methods the likelihood of any recovery. And I think then we will be able to provide more of an individualised approach towards treatment.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Tan Phan on the paper Refining the Ischemic Penumbra with Topography, published in the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organisation. The World Stroke Organisation is the leading body in the fight against stroke globally. Please do consider becoming a member.